Good morning, this is Bill Prince saying welcome to the show that gives you the funny side of the news, which is something we all need these days. And we have it. Helping me to sort out the oddball news items are George Young, John Scott and Madeline von Billion. And of course we have listeners' contributions too, for which one of you will win a prize. First though, let's dip into our fascinating facts file and George Young will start the ball rolling.
Yes, the chairman of the Professional Toastmasters Club. You've heard about the organisation, I'm sure. He's received a complaint from a man demanding replacement for a faulty electric toaster bought at a supermarket recently. That's what he thought of the Toastmaster.
Madeline?
In the summer of 1978, Ugandan officials denied that a giant talking tortoise was walking from village to village outside Kampala. But thousands of Ugandans said the story was true, and local police at Jinja on Lake Victoria reported that the tortoise entered their station and demanded to see the commissioner of police. What the tortoise was cross about was not revealed, but former President Idi Amin was so disturbed by this tale that he threatened to shoot anyone who spoke about the talking tortoise.
And John.
Yes, this is a story about a 19th century British seaman, true story, who threw a bottle containing a marriage proposal overboard off Southampton as his ship was leaving port en route to India. At Port Said, on his return journey, he was walking along the seafront and saw a bottle bobbing in the water near the jetty. He opened it and discovered his proposal for marriage.
And no reply.
And while they've been relating those astounding facts, I've been dipping into the listener's mailbag. And from Mrs. Joan Bellamy of Benoni, this is a cutting from The Star, which reads, the defendant was driving at high speed and weaving from side to side. As he approached the crossing, he crashed into Miss Fantonda's rear end, which was sticking out into the road. Luckily, she was unhurt, but said she had been forced to have her rear end straightened out and resprayed. Madeline?
I want to tell you about one of the most expensive bloopers of all time. In 1962, Mariner 1, an American rocket bound for Venus, had to be blasted apart when it began veering off course. An investigation revealed that the erratic behavior had been caused by the omission of a hyphen in the flight control computer. And the lack of this single piece of punctuation cost the United States taxpayers $18.5 million.
Oh, my.
Not bad.
Very small sum to begin with.
And John.
This appeared in The Nation, Nairobi. Quoting the police data summary, Mr. Mwazi said the high death toll could be blamed on the growing number of drivers who are killed. And there's one other here from the Advertiser in Adelaide, Australia. Beryl Holder says she has no ill feeling towards her late husband, who slashed her throat and neck with a knife, stabbed her, shot her, and ran her down with a car.
No ill feeling.
No. Well, she's alive and he's dead.
And George?
Yes, a coastal newspaper only last week had an advertisement reading, young couple require unfurnished accommodation. Marrying in January. No children. And then there's a man in England who's been selling nuclear bomb shelters and he's reacted to criticism of his device. He said that if any purchaser is not satisfied after a nuclear attack, his complaint would receive immediate redress.
Ah, yes.
After the attack.
And by the way, the book prize this week is the Reader's Digest Atlas of Southern Africa, worth a cool 70 rands. We'll know who's won that towards the end of the programme. News items coming up now. And why has the little town of Hay, H-A-Y, in Wales, become rather famous recently? Do you know, John? Hay.
I'm not going to make the obvious pun about making hay while the sun shines.
I'm glad you aren't.
No, I wouldn't. I thought I wouldn't. I was greatly tempted to.
Yeah, I'm very relieved to hear that. Yes.
At that point, my inspiration about hay fails me.
It vanishes. All right, Madeline.
I've never heard of hay.
All right, George.
There was a fellow there, I've forgotten his name, he declared unilateral independence, and he set up his own kingdom there. I think he became the king of the place.
He did.
Is that right? And then there was an election or something, and they tried to throw him off, but only about a dozen people voted this election, and so he's retained his powers there. I don't know if he still exists.
He still exists, yes. Businessman Richard Booth declared the town of Hay an independent kingdom 6 years ago, and himself as king, King Richard. issued his own currency, set up a customs post, and renamed his little house Hay Castle. And he had a row with the Welsh Tourist Board about new industry, and King Richard disagreed. So a rival businessman held a referendum to decide whether King Richard should stay on the throne or not. Only 10% of the people voted. So he's still on the throne, which is actually not so much of a throne, but an old leather armchair. But he's still there.
And Mrs. Thatcher's not afraid of losing her job.
Not in the least.
Not good.
In the French resort of Quimper recently, the townspeople were shouting, "Off with his head," or the equivalent in French, of course, and a head was lopped off. Whose head was it, and why was it lopped off, Madeline?
It was a statue in the town square which they've disliked for years.
Yes.
And finally they... was that right?
Well, it was a statue. They haven't disliked it for years.
Good grief. That was a wild guess. I'm sorry, I don't know the rest of the story.
Good guess. Now, who knows the rest of the story?
I don't think the statue was there for years. I think it was quite a new statue.
It was a new one, brand new one.
And they didn't like it because it was of General de Gaulle.
That's right.
And the sculptor had taken some artistic license in depicting the nose. The head was all nose.
Yes.
And very little else. And because General de Gaulle is a hero in those parts, they wanted the blood of the sculptor. And they certainly, they destroyed the piece of sculpture. Now they want a new piece of sculpture of de Gaulle with a smaller nose.
Yes, actually they haven't destroyed it. A stonemason was summoned and told to lop off the head. And they're going to have a new head put on the statue.
Keep the same body,
because that was all right. But this time it's going to be in bronze, with orders not to overdo the conch.
It sounds like the hoo-ha that went on about the General Smut statue.
Yes.
That's some strange interpretation of his appearance.
Now, the Miss World Jamboree was held some time ago in London, but many of the beauties went white with fear because of a new innovation which was introduced. Why was that? Do you know what the innovation was, George? You're an expert on beauties. I thought I was going to be asked about that one.
What would be the innovation to make beautiful girls get frightened? Some of you bring in a couple of big dogs?
No.
What for?
Well, keep the men away.
You have the most extraordinary imagination.
Keep the men away. You've got beautiful girls here. You've got to protect them.
Why are they going to go white with fear?
When they saw the dogs.
I don't understand that.
What do you think, Phil? This wasn't because they were going to introduce an intelligence test.
Yes, it was.
Yes, intelligence actually frightened them a bit.
But beauty and brains don't go together.
Yes, they had to have an intelligence test which involved answering 105 questions on a computer. And a spokesman said that most of the girls in beauty contests are a bit thick. So this new test was devised to give judges some impression of their intelligence. And also to promote the computer companies sponsoring the contest. I can imagine the judges looking over all these scantily clad beauties and one nudging the other and saying, "Hey, take a look at those brains." In London recently, a young Scotsman spent a lot of time collecting 50,000 or thereabouts old worn-out car tyres, and thereby got his picture in the papers. What did he want those old worn-out car tyres for, John?
He wanted them for the Guinness Book of Records.
He paints them silver and plants them with ferns.
No.
He was going to build a house with all these tyres.
Ah, nice idea, but no. Now, George?
No, he had the idea of making a statue, a monument of a submarine.
That's
and
right.
And the tyres were very pliable, no doubt. And I think the council, which had more money then in sense, aided him to the tune of lots and lots of money to develop the submarine statue.
Yes, the British Arts Council lavished £100,000 of the taxpayers' money on this idiotic scheme.
That wasn't Liverpool, I know.
No, it's in London, actually. And he is what they call a new wave sculptor called David Match. And he arranged the old tyres in a not very neat fashion and called it a sculpture of a submarine. And actually, it looks nothing like a submarine. It looks like a pile of old junk tyres. But it is now a work of art.
Oh. It's probably in the Tate.
Yes.
In Australia recently, wicketkeeper Rodney Marsh shot to nationwide prominence for something he said. What did he say? Any idea, Madeline?
Not on a family programme, darling, and least of all on...
All right.
Was he very cross?
We could have been.
Well, I agree with Madeline. It might not be the right thing on a Sunday morning.
I think Madeline was spot on. All his swear words were recorded during a match. They installed microphones near the wicket.
Yes.
And when he missed a catch or something, did something that he disagreed with, he let fly. Yes. With a string of four-letter words.
Yes, the ABC had decided to mount microphones all over the cricket pitch so that TV viewers and radio listeners could feel they were really there in the middle of the action. And they forgot to tell the players. And, of course, what the mics were picking up were the four-letter words which the players liberally let out when things didn't go their way. And Rodney Marsh swore so much, he was voted by the press as the sportsman most in need of a mouthwash.
One or two famous tennis players would qualify for that too.
Yes, they would. Now, although Britain's now in the grip of winter, a new complaint brought on by last summer's hot weather is bothering a lot of people still, especially motorists. What is this complaint? Who's our medical expert? Madeline, do you know?
It's a story about people's habits when they're overheated. They take off their jackets when they get into the car and then transfer their little bits of plastic, with which you can buy things without money, into their hip pockets, then get into the car. And the sharp sides of the credit cards dig into the bone and cause sciatica. Or no, press on the nerve, that's how you get sciatica.
Yes, it is called credit card sciatica by the doctors these days.
You made that up.
No, this is what they're calling it, because hundreds of British businessmen and motorists have been visiting doctors about this mystery pain, which strikes the sciatic nerve. And the cure is to remove the wallet and keep the card in another pocket entirely. So there you are, in case you get a pain where you shouldn't get a pain.
I usually get a pain because I haven't got a credit card. And I can't pay.
That's a very common pain.
Sounds a new disease to me. Yes. It'll go in the books too.
In Britain, a certain Mr. John Knight has hit the headlines and is now a national celebrity. Though he has no trade or profession, plays no sports or games, doesn't sing, dance, entertain or anything. What makes him so famous then if he doesn't do any of these things? John?
Sorry, I passed on this one.
Madeline?
He sleeps in public. He lies in a huge store window on a double bed and sleeps.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, but he doesn't actually, but it's probably something you'll probably think of in due course.
Now, he's a classic example of the Englishman who doesn't work and won't work because he feels a dole system pays him off much better. He has an enormous family, I've forgotten how many children he's got, so he gets paid out for each of those. And he's a complete bum, he's a scrounger, and in consequence of that, he's well paid.
Oh, very well paid. He is known as Super Dad, the champion scrounger. Mr. Knight has 12 children by his wife and 9 more by his mistress, and he now has a new girlfriend as well. He does not believe in work and lives on the dole, which for him comes to about £100 per week. As he had no money in the bank, the local council bought him 2 houses to keep his wife, mistress and 21 kids in, and he gets an extra £100 a week from welfare, making his income £200 a week for sitting on his backside and doing nothing. And some weeks he does get extra money by charging reporters for photographs and interviews. Now, why do we work, I ask
That's what I'm asking.
In Sweden, a celebrated artist called Lars Peterson is in big trouble and many people are after his neck. What did he do to get into such trouble? Madeline.
Well, we've had one lot of people who are unhappy about his statue.
That's right.
Maybe he painted somebody's portrait which they didn't care for
either. You're right, he did do that. Can you give any details, though? He did paint somebody's portrait and nobody cared for it.
Have they got a king there? He painted the king's portrait.
They have a king there,
and
yes.
And they made the king look perfectly absurd.
Well, yes, they did. Why?
He dressed him up as a clown.
No.
My invention is going.
You're nearly right. George, do you know?
No, I don't know any more than that.
All right, John, do you know?
Madeline was spot on. She just left out the last detail, was that he painted the king with his fly open.
That's right.
Of course I read that. What an idiot. How could I have forgotten?
Yes.
Yes. The painting is hanging in a gallery on public view, and the gallery authorities say they're not censors, and the painting does have a right to hang. but many Swedish royalists feel that the artist should hang instead. And he's keeping a rather low profile at the moment. Mr. Derek Painter of Sussex stood stock still for 2 hours the other week, though he was dying to move, but he wouldn't move. He wouldn't move at all. Why didn't he, George? Derek Painter, Sussex.
And what was... Why wouldn't he move? Stock still for two hours. When he was having his... somebody's taking a portrait of him.
Oh, it's very archy this morning. It was a
camera with a very slow shutter speed.
Oh. What else would it be? Madeline?
He's a security guard. And he was overpowered by robbers who tied him down and told him that if he even did so much as twitch, the bomb which they had tied next to him would go off. So they got away with all the money, and then eventually, of course, the police arrived to rescue him to find that the whole thing had been a hoax, excepting the theft.
Yes. They didn't tie him down, actually. They tied a box to him, and he was standing, and they told him there was a time bomb in this box which they would explode by radio remote control if he didn't hand over the money. He gave them the keys. They loaded their car with 13 bags of cash. Then they turned a key in this box and told him this would explode if he moved. And they sped off. And he stood there like a ninny for 2 hours, afraid to move until the bomb squad arrived. Stood there shivering, and they told him that it was just a hoax. There was nothing in the box at all. And the robbers got away with almost £500,000. From Miss Leslie Ann Edwards of Pietermaritzburg, this is a clipping from the Tribune, which reads... Under a clear blue sky and blazing sunshine, the South Africans won the toss and elected to bath first. Well, in this hot weather, it's just as well, isn't it?
It is, indeed.
And from Henry Goldberg of Johannesburg, this comes from a London paper, which reads, in an unfortunate typographical error last week, we printed that the retiring Mr. South was a member of the defective branch of the police force. This was a mistake and should, of course, read... the detective branch of the police force.
Win some, lose some.
George, what have you got?
From the United States, from the state of Ohio, there's a report there of an American who was bitten by a snake on the finger and was taken to hospital, where doctors removed the poison, saved the finger, and instructed that it be kept in an ice pack. 2 weeks later, the man returned to hospital because the finger had to be amputated as a result of frostbite. Complete cure.
How we love to laugh at other people's misfortunes. Got any others?
Yes, and there's a bit of graffiti I saw even this morning coming in here past a house where they're having a new swimming bath built, and it says, please note that crazy paving is not what it's cracked up to be.
Just a big crack, that's all. Madeline?
In 1948, during the Middle East War, the United States ambassador to the United Nations, Warren Austin, made an impassioned plea to the Arabs and the Jews to settle their differences like good Christians.
Yes. Any more?
Oh, this is a bit of information for you on a Sunday morning. According to the editors of the Cambridge Bible, Joseph's coat of many colours never existed. When the Bible was being translated into English, the scholars made a mistake with the Hebrew phrase, which actually read, a long garment with sleeves.
Oh, that's the information. Oh, that's it. And John?
Mrs. S. Van Sale of Knysna sent us in a cutting from the local newspaper there and the school awards, high school awards, and they give the merit awards not... cum honore, but bum honore. And Mrs. Gibson of Queenswood, Pretoria, sent a clipping from the Sunday Express in London. It's actually an advertisement for Sealink, the ferries, and it says, Sealink from Dover to Calais, 16 crossings a day, all through the night.
And the end of the year anticlimax must be the announcement in the Association of Undertakers magazine, which says... that grave digging is a dying profession.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And the winner this week is Mr. P.Q. Keat of 22 Alfred Street, Cape Town, for the following item. A raid by police and a sniffer dog was a foul-up from start to finish. First, they broke into the house, smashing the lock and damaging the door. The sniffer dog bounded in, pinned a terrified woman to the wall, then went around the room, cocking his leg on the Persian carpet in three different places. Five officers spent 4 hours searching the house before they realized they should have been next door. They were acting on a tip-off from the horrified couple whose house they raided by mistake. Mr. Keith, thank you very much. Congratulations. You'll receive your copy of the giant Reader's Digest Atlas of Southern Africa, and I'm sure you'll find it very informative and useful. Well, that's it for this week from It's News to Me. This is Bill Prince on behalf of the panel, George Young, Madeline van Biljon and John Scott, and our producer, Alec House, wishing you a very happy and a very peaceful New Year.